You're listening to Trek FM.
This is Robert Picardo, the emergency medical hologram from Star Trek Voyager, and you're listening to Trek FM.
Hello, everybody at home, and welcome. This is To The Journey.
To the journey!
I'm your co-host, Tristan Riddell, and with me, as always, is...
Charlene Schmidt!
Charlene Schmidt, we are here today to deliver another great To The Journey episode. And I have to say that I thoroughly enjoyed doing our Borg origin story episode that we did last week, and it sounds like a whole lot of other people did, too.
Yes, that generated a lot of feedback. Probably a little more than is usual. And we got several fan theories on their origins of the Borg, what they liked about our theories, how they differentiated. And it's been fantastic. There's been a lot of Twitter interaction. I don't know if we didn't get too many emails. I don't know. It's hard to remember what we get sometimes because we get show suggestions. We get the feedback. We get random messages here and there. And we try to respond to them all, but sometimes that just doesn't work out. but we try. That's the important thing. And we do read it all. But anyway, yeah, the interaction has been through the roof. We built ourselves up pretty heavily for that episode. Thanks, Tristan. And I feel like we actually did manage to follow through. We gave a part one level of intensity rather than the kind of the fallout of a typical part two in Star Trek, where it's like, it's a great idea, but the follow-through just wasn't, it didn't match up.
Yeah, and if you guys want to reach out to us, you can go to trek.fm/contact and then select To The Journey from the drop-down menu, and then that will email us, or you can find us on Twitter at trekfm, or you can find us individually, where, Char, we can find you at Oh The Profanity, and you can find me at The Insane Robin.
Yes, and those are by far the best ways to contact us because neither one of us really likes Facebook that much, and we don't really use it. We are definitely against the norm in the 21st century here.
It is so funny because I talk about this on all of my shows, and I've talked about this for years, but when you tell people you don't have a Facebook, they look at you like you're a leper or like they just don't understand you.
What's wrong with you? Why? Yeah. What happened? Who hurt you?
Yeah, it's not even that. Like sometimes they give me this look where it's like their brain does not comprehend what just came out of your mouth. Where you say like, I don't have a Facebook, and they're like, well, you mean like you don't have access to it right now? I was like, no, I don't have one. You mean it's down for some reason? No, I don't have one.
How do you function without Facebook, man?
Yeah, and I've been you and I have been kind of been stepping away from social media a little bit more and more as time goes on.
Yeah, a little bit. I am definitely getting a little burnt out on, I think mostly just, I don't know, the noise of it all. That's kind of the beauty and the drawback of the internet in general is it gives everybody a voice, which can be a beautiful thing. And at the same time, there's so many voices like a Borg collective that it can be overwhelming. It can just get to be too much. And sometimes I just really need to pull back and actually have some real life that has nothing to do with the screen. Sometimes I just prefer going out for a walk or doing something like baking cookies or just something that is a little more like present in the moment, if that makes any sense.
Yeah, yeah, absolutely. And it's true. It's true. You find yourself being preoccupied with other things, which is good. But there's nothing wrong with healthy amounts of social media. But a couple of weeks ago, I had something go viral, and I was getting a lot of attention, some positive, some negative. And so I was just like, okay, I'm going to step away from Twitter for a little bit. And I was talking with a good friend and co-host of Aggressive Negotiations, as well as Stage 9 on the network, John Mills. And he said, he's like, yeah, when I went on vacation for a week, I didn't have my phone. I didn't have Twitter. And I did not miss it. And I was just like, wow, I don't know, man. They're like, I'm going to have a hard time. And for the first two or three days, I had a hard time where I had to block it on my phone. And I still caught myself trying to get around the block, even though I'm the person who put the block in.
Wow.
My thumb just naturally went towards where the icon used to be. whenever I picked up my phone. And then on day four, I didn't miss it, didn't think about it. I felt like a junkie. It was weird.
That's what I was thinking, is it's sort of like you're going into withdrawal, where isn't it amazing how procedural memory just occurs like that? We don't even realize how ingrained in us it is until you do something like that, where you cut yourself off very intentionally and you realize just maybe how much time you spend on this sort of thing or how dependent you are on it. And sometimes it is a very good idea to step back and do something else for a while. But that also said, it is a very good tool. And one of the best things about it is interacting with our listeners. And so,
absolutely.
You know, I don't want to completely cut off. So that's why I've always had Twitter. You know, I've thought about, maybe I should step away from Twitter too. But then I realized then I'm really cutting myself off from a lot of people. I mean, Facebook is enough in one sense, but Twitter too. Ooh. Okay. No, I don't want to it almost sort of feels like you're going sort of Amish in a way where you're just so completely removed from the way the rest of the world works. And I don't know if that's necessarily good too. I guess what we're really trying to say with this whole conversation is that balance is good and it's hard to find it sometimes. Yes.
Yeah, balance is good. And that's the thing, is that like I was thinking about deleting my Twitter. You and I even talked about it.
We did. Yes. And I told you, think about it. Don't do anything yes. brash. Don't do anything that you're going to regret 2 days later.
You're absolutely right. Because I started thinking about it. I was like, I built up this is going to sound very pretentious, but, you know, like I spent 6 years building up the brand that is the Insane Robin. You know, like I'm mm-hmm. that on Instagram, I'm that on Twitter, I'm that on Tumblr. My listeners know that as my handle. Man, you know, like I don't want to let all this negativity make me shy away from what a name that I built up. And then at the same time, I started thinking about listeners, where I was like, you know what? I love interacting with our listeners. And if I completely step away from social media, we can only have a one-sided conversation when maybe sometimes right. they send me an email.
Right, right. And you don't really want to do that. A one-sided conversation is just as good as an echo chamber, which I don't feel is very productive. I don't know. Our listeners always give us great ideas. They always give us great feedback. I don't know if the show would be nearly as much fun without that. I mean, granted, even if nobody did start listening to the show, like say way back in the day, we had nobody listening, we would probably still keep recording just because we were having fun. But that addition to it, we've said it before and I'll just say it again. Sometimes that's what keeps us going. We are 187 episodes into the show now. And there's been times where we have felt burned out or like, what are we going to do this week? We keep it going because our listeners are great and we don't want to lose that. But then also to your point about branding, we are all a brand on the internet. That's what a lot of this is. And 6 years is a lot of investment. So you're also right about that. Do you just want that to go away in the blink of an eye?
Yeah,
that's a big decision nowadays. I mean, it's an important part of who we are.
And so since we're talking about this and since we're talking about listenership, I mean, like that was one of the, like you guys listening, you guys are one of the main reasons why I stayed on Twitter, is because I love you guys. We love you guys. We love interacting with you. And I found that balance. I did. I found it, Char, where Twitter is not on my phone.
Okay.
I only check it when I'm in front of a computer. Uh-huh. And I check it just a handful of times a day. I'm talking like maybe 3 or 4 times a day, but I don't stay on it. I check my notifications, scroll for a minute max, and then I'm off for a couple hours.
Not bad. So you're not seeing every single tweet from every single person who's in your feed? Because see, I do that. If I actually follow somebody, I am genuinely interested in what they have to say and what they're talking about. But I keep my list pretty small intentionally. I don't follow every single person who follows me, and I don't follow a whole bunch of accounts of people that I like. Like, I seriously try to keep it down to right around 200 people, because any more than that, and it gets crazy. And also, I can't do binge tweeters. it takes up too much time in the day. So again, that's another balance thing. But I'm glad you found balance too. Yeah. We've all got to figure that out, and especially as lives get more and more chaotic, which I feel they are all the time.
Yeah.
And especially you've got impending parenthood on your brain. I mean, that's a huge adjustment. And you're just starting out. You're going to have even more things thrown your way. So Twitter, by comparison, is nothing.
Yeah. And that's another reason why I felt the need to find some balance, because obviously I'm not going to have this little baby girl in my arms and then go like, I wonder what's happening on Twitter. I'm not going to care. You know, like it's
just a little different on the priority list. Yes.
I think so too. But what also is on our priority list is giving you a topic.
Yes. And we should start the show.
Yeah, let's start the show. I'm pretty excited about this week because we are going back to a universe that you and I created. Well, yes. Let's say, I guess that might be giving us too much credit. Like, we created a subsection of an already established universe.
Yes, and it's just our little canon, just to degrade us a little further. I mean, anybody can do this. It just so happens we do it on a podcast and people listen to it and we've gotten good feedback, so we keep on doing it. It's like when, a kid does something that makes the parents or the adults laugh, they're just going to keep right on doing it over and over.
Keep on doing it, yeah.
Yeah, we're going to keep entertaining you as long as you find it entertaining.
So what we're doing this week is we're doing our fourth episode of Voyager's Mirror Universe.
That's right. That's why you and I have goatees right now. The listeners can't see, but we've got goatees.
That's why I keep stroking my face thusly.
Yeah, it's hot.
Okay, so it's the fourth episode, and just as a quick recap, we won't go into an in-depth recap, but just for those of you who haven't heard this before, our Voyager's Mirror Universe is very different because in the canon Mirror Universe, Voyager never would have existed, so we transformed it into Voyager was the second vessel made by the Terrans, and after the fall of the Terran Empire. So it's post-Defiant, it's the ISS Intrepid, so it's not even called Voyager, and it's the most advanced starship that they've ever made, and it was made for the pure purpose of expanding their borders and trying to regain the Terran Empire, and they get lost in the Delta Quadrant in the same fashion, where they go into the Badlands because they're trying to find a base, and they get taken to the Delta Quadrant. And the hijinks ensue, but everybody's a little different. Not everybody's completely evil, because the Terrans aren't necessarily evil anymore, but you have Janeway, who, flies off the handle at a moment's notice, is just
absolutely
temperamental. Crazy.
Yeah.
Temperamental. Chakotay is the level-headed person, kind of keeps Janeway in check, and is more invested in the ship than he is her. And then you have Garrett Wong. You have Harry Kim.
I love it.
You're like Harry Kim, who has the long hair, and he's the evil one. Like, he is constantly plotting and trying to gain control of the ship and rise up. Like, he's the security officer, I think, right? Is that right?
Yeah, he's security. He's also a descendant of Empress Sato, so he feels entitled to the power that he thinks is rightfully his.
Absolutely. And so he develops his own security force, and he did it by stealing people on the planet of the 47s.
And
37s. Man, that's the second time I've done that today.
Yeah. You've done it before, too. I mean, 47 is such an ingrained thing in Trek.
Thank you,
Larry Nemechek. So shout out to you.
And then you have B'Elanna, who is still half human, half Klingon, but she's looked upon much differently on the ship because she's an alien, and Tuvok raised B'Elanna in this scenario.
Yes, she's basically abandoned. We should mention that is her mother had a little liaison with a human, which is extremely taboo, basically, in the Mirror Universe, had this child. She had a position of power where if somebody found out that she had this illegitimate child, she would be stripped of her position and therefore did not take care of B'Elanna. And that's where Tuvok came in, essentially raised her, and is often kind of, I don't know, her guardian in a way still?
Yeah, no, protective.
He's very protective of her.
Yeah,
protective.
Yeah, like we established the intro in the first episode of how they got to the Delta Quadrant, and then they're like, okay, our main mission is to get home to get this ship back to the Terran Empire. We used all of our resources to make this ship. We have to get it back to the Terrans. Second episode was the 37 episode where they actually enslave some of those people and use them in their security force. And the third episode is B'Elanna's backstory mixed with a little thing with Suter that's not really important to keep going.
Actually, I believe we are incorrect. We have one more episode because we had, it's called Black Lace Nighty, and it's where Janeway wanted to steal technology that could have potentially gotten us home, but it had a lot of probability that it wouldn't work. And she played with Chakotay's emotions quite a bit.
I completely forgot about this episode. So this is really the fifth episode of the Mirror Universe.
It is. We've lost count. We can't even count to five. This is the dumbing down of America right here.
So with that episode, yeah, like Janeway totally uses Chakotay, plays with his emotions, and just to get her way and to convince him to do what she needs to do and everything like that. So this is establishing the characters. Like, these people are not the characters we know and love. So here we are. We're 16 minutes in. You know, what we're doing is we're writing this episode on the fly. Like, Char, yes. You and I have not talked about this. I haven't even thought about it. I have no idea what we're going to do. And so we're wiping down the whiteboard.
Yep. Squeaky, squeaky, squeaky. Yep. Whiteboard is ready. And go.
Here we go.
All right. So, first thing, as always, character and time. We've done a rotation now where each time we've focused on a different character, and I think possibly we should continue with that trend just because there is room to keep doing so.
Okay.
So, who have we not focused on? I would dare maybe say Chakotay has not had a centric episode around him because we've included him in a kind of more of a Janeway sense, and even a little bit with B'Elanna.
Now, but someone we really haven't talked about is Tom.
Oh, you're right. Yeah, Tommy, we should probably flesh this out since he's such an integral part of the cast. We've not talked about him hardly at all.
Hardly at all. And like, we kind of joked about how he's pretty much just the same character, but...
Well, no, wait. Say, didn't we say that he was a drunk? Or was right. that just a joke? Yes.
No, he's a drunk, but he's just like he's still an awesome pilot, but you keep wondering, you know,
he's
like, if he's
gonna... pilot savant, and he's also a good drunk driver. Who knew?
Yeah.
Tommy.
Well, it doesn't necessarily have to be Tom. I mean, we could talk about it. So like, we have Chakotay, who we've talked about a lot, you know, through Janeway, but not on his own. We have Tom, who we've barely talked about at all, which could be a pretty one-dimensional character with how we've fleshed him out so far.
Well, yeah, so far we've not done a very good job with him.
And also Neelix. You know, like Neelix is now an indentured servant.
Yes, he's still in the kitchen, just not necessarily willing to be there.
What if we did something with Neelix where he tries to escape?
I was sort of wondering if, maybe we ought to have Neelix, I don't know, colluding, politicking, weaseling his way through some things. That has a lot of potential.
Yeah, I like the Neelix character, obviously, and this Neelix can be completely different or even, you know, very similar. There are no rules here. And, you know, we know that he's an indentured servant. Now, did we establish if there was a Kes or not?
Yes, Kes is also an indentured servant. She's doing the same thing. She's in the aeroponics bay growing the vegetables. Mm-hmm. What if she poisons the food?
Well, okay, so let's crawl before we walk here. So
okay.
So we're doing a Neelix and Kes storyline. They're indentured servants. Like, it's about them maybe grumbling about their position or trying to advance their position or trying to escape. This could be any time, because in the Mirror Universe, Kes could still be around. Like, it doesn't have to be where, like, 7 and 9 came on board. Like, in this version, you know,
Kes is and so far, still on we've board. Kind of had, like, a linear time progression with each episode. We've kind of gone a little further in the actual Voyager timeline. Like, we did the 37s, and then we went a little later in season 2, like, around the Tuvix era. Then we... In our very last Mirror Universe episode, it was right around the start of season 3. We could keep going, but we also don't have to.
Yeah.
So what are your thoughts? I mean, I feel like maybe we should just keep going.
Yeah.
Because 3 years of indentured servitude is going to wear these guys down. They're going to maybe start to get a little fed up.
Yeah. I say we keep going. I say we keep going in a linear fashion.
Cool. All right, so do we want to say maybe, oh, I don't know, a third of the way through season three, halfway? Does it matter?
Where would that be? I don't think it really matters.
Yeah, the more that I'm thinking about it, the less I think it does matter.
So what was the alien in season three of Voyager?
There were kind of, it was a variety of strange new worlds because there wasn't any one consistent alien run-in. Like, there weren't the Malon, there wasn't the Hirogen yet. It was a lot of random people. There was the Tac-Tac in Macrocosm. Right. There was the Lady Planet where they wanted Harry's DNA.
You're right. I'm looking at the episodes right now and there really is no consistent villain or consistent alien.
Yeah, that was kind of a theme for season three. That's what Jeri Taylor wanted. She wanted it a little more original series-esque where they're encountering a new species every week.
Okay, so let's just say season three, no alien of the, like, no alien overarching storyline. Mm-hmm. So Neelix and Kes, they are fed up. They are angry. They no longer want to be on this journey. Like, they never really wanted to be on this journey to begin with. And he's tired, even though he loves cooking, he's tired of being forced to cook. And she's tired of just growing the food. You know, they want more of their lives. And
maybe they want more autonomy or something like that. I would like to think that they're being treated very badly. And they're really sick of people's you know what. They want some respect.
Well, I think I'm trying to figure out a line between slavery and indentured servitude, where I feel like with indentured servitude, it's to the point where Neelix can try to make his case, where he can go to the captain and say, listen, I have more than paid for the debt of you, you know, saving me and Kes. Like, he's having a conversation with Kes, and he's like, this is enough. Okay, we're way out of our, like, we are way far from our home territory. We want to continue on, but we need to do it under our own steam. And 3 years is enough for being rescued once. And so let's say, like, he tries to make a case. He goes to the captain and says, okay, it's time is over. We're done. We're moving on. And what happens in that conversation?
Obviously, Janeway's going to maybe flip off the handle and say, no, you're not done. We did you a huge solid, and you're here as long as I want you here.
Yeah. I feel like she needs to come up with some bullcrap reason where, like she says, she's like, oh, well, yeah, you working in the kitchen has more than paid off for us saving you, but we've been giving you lodging. We've been giving you food. We've been giving you protection, and that's been adding up. So actually, you owe us a couple more years just from that.
Oh, I like it.
He starts to realize the longer I try to pay it off, the longer I'm going to have to stay by those rules.
Yes, there is no end.
And that's when he realizes that, oh, wow, I'm not an indentured servant anymore. This is slave. I'm a prisoner. Talaxian slave. Yeah, I'm a prisoner.
So he goes to is Kes in this meeting as well, or is it just Neelix?
I'm thinking just Neelix, because that way he can go to Kes and, you know, they can talk about what they need to do. Like, he can fill her in on what's happening.
Now, do we want to create a little bit of conflict with Neelix and Kes? Like, does he have to convince her to go along with his plan, maybe?
I think so. I think what would be cool is where there's a, like, she's scared. And he's like, no, let's go. You're like, this, like, we can find my ship. We can get out of here. We just have to try. And she's scared because she's like, I don't want to die. She's like, I don't have very many years left and I don't want to spend them dead. And so
I don't want to die. I'm only three.
Yeah, exactly. And so she's freaking out. And so he keeps pushing her. And she just says no really, really loud and screams. And all of a sudden, all the vases in their quarters break.
Okay. I want to throw out another idea. I want to see what you think of this. What if Kes gets a little Stockholm Syndrome-ish, where Neelix kind of reports back with what Janeway said, and Kes considers it, and she's like, yeah, you know what? She's right. And we have been protected here, and they have been sheltering us, and we have been living here for the last 3 years, and there could be worse things. You know, she's trying to almost empathize and accept their plight.
I think that's good, and I think that adds drama, which and it adds conflict, which is what you absolutely need.
Yeah.
But I think she's turned around by the next commercial break.
Well, sure. Yeah, she's got to ultimately decide for herself to go along with the plan, and then maybe like right before the cut to the next commercial, she's just okay.
Yeah.
I'm so in. I'm so sick of these a-holes.
So what happens to Kes?
That's a good question. What's going to be the tipping point for her?
Yeah. So like what's going to happen to her? What situation is going to absolutely just push her over the edge where she's just like, you know what? Neelix is right. We need to go. What if something happens to her garden or to her hydroponics bay?
Okay. That could be something like, I don't know, maybe they're under some attack and the hydroponics bay gets blown up and suddenly she's out of her job.
Well, I think it needs to be something that is a direct consequence of something that the bridge crew did. Either they didn't care, or they took advantage of it, or they stole from it, or they ruined something. Because this has been her baby for the past 3 years.
Yeah, okay.
So it's a situation where Janeway knowingly threw themselves into a plight where they had to divert power from the hydroponics bay, or they had to zap out all the oxygen and everything died or something. Or I imagine like Tom went on a bender one night and then just like
flew into some radiation and it killed him off.
Or yeah, something like that. Or even more direct, where he just goes in there and he just starts eating everything. Like he steals everything because he's hungry.
He got the munchies. He's acting like a pothead, but he's an alcoholic.
I know. I like your idea of Tom flying through something where they have to avoid, like they pissed off an alien race because of their hubris or something like that, and, or because of their arrogance. And so they have to fly through a nebula. Kes finds this out and then tells them, no, if you fly through this nebula, like it is not good for plant-based stuff, whatever, tech to tech, science to science, Star Trek-y stuff.
Yeah, organic material's gonna kind of like devolve.
Yeah.
And they can protect themselves, but the plant life, it's screwed.
And Janeway's basically like, why the hell would I care about that? And she's like, but this is a big source of your food. I've been tending this for 3 years. And she's like, you can grow it again.
Yeah, so grow it again.
Yeah, and so they go through it. It dies. She weeps. And that's when she goes back to Neelix saying, okay, we need to go.
Yeah, I think that's enough. I think we could sell that anyway. I'm envisioning it playing out as if it were actually on my TV screen or something like that. Mm-hmm. Is that enough emotion? Like, is that enough where she loses everything? Like, she loses the one thing that she enjoys on this ship, besides Neelix. And
well, I think we'd have to build that up. We would have to show that before this happened, that all she has is that garden. Or
yeah,
is that hydroponics bay. Like, we show, like, when Neelix is talking to her, you know, we make that throwaway line where all you talk about is this hydroponics bay. And she gives that little speech about how, you know, this is all that I've had for the past 3 years. This is what's kept me sane. And
Like,
maybe that's one of the reasons why she doesn't want to go. She's like, I don't want to leave this.
Yeah,
I don't want to leave my bay.
Well, and I see Kes is just such a sponge for information. She probably learned everything she possibly could about horticulture, and learned to innovate some great growing techniques to really maximize the space that she had, things of that nature. And then to do it all over again is just so daunting and such a loss that then, yes, it's got the impact that we need. So then she's on board. Okay, now the two are going to be colluding together.
Yes, okay. So they're colluding together. Now, are we keeping my idea of she now has her telekinesis powers, or are we putting that aside?
Ooh.
Because it might be too complicated, it might not. I don't know. What do you think?
Oh, man, I feel like we could go either way. But telekinesis is definitely a power tool.
Yeah.
And I don't think we should be completely against using it. Why not? Why don't we have Kes get naughty and start playing with people's brains?
Yeah. Maybe that's Neelix's idea, where he's like, okay, we can use this. And she's like, well, I can't really control it. She's like, well, we have to try. So what do they have to do? Like, I say this is the season 3 ender. This is the season finale.
Where, oh, you think so?
Yes.
Really?
And here's why.
Okay.
Yes.
Okay. Tell me why.
And we can actually, you can say no, yes or no, depending on how we end it, if this is the season finale or not.
Okay, fair enough.
Okay, so, you know, Neelix, his only goal is to get to his ship. He's like, that is our salvation. We have to get to the ship. So first we have to bypass security. We have to get to the ship. We have to activate the ship. We have to open up the bay doors. And before we do all of that, we have to disable their weapons and their tractor beam.
Yes. Okay, so that brings up some ideas. They're going to need to tap Tom for some information, like opening up the bay doors, perhaps, as well as Tuvok for security information. And I'm thinking Kes plays with Tuvok's brain to get the security info. Neelix works on Tom, gets him super drunk so that he tells all.
I like that, where like a Neelix says, is like, he's like, yeah, Lieutenant, you know, like, let's have a drink sometime. Why would I want to drink with you? And he pulls out some super friggin' rare alcohol, like it's
like, yeah, like, I don't know, Talaxian moonshine, something that he's never tried before, that just seems too irresistible, and he's just all about it, and it's gonna get him super intoxicated.
Like, it's purple and glowy, and it's like it's like a moth to the flame is what it is.
Yes, he can't refuse it, he just can't.
And so, and Neelix knows that Talaxians can absorb that drink much better than humans, and so he has no problem with it. And so that he get, so Tom gives him the answers to the bay doors.
Okay.
And so there's that solved. And Kes, let's not have Kes deal with Tuvok, because Tuvok's brain is super advanced because
it's
he's
true.
A Vulcan. So let's have Kes try to manipulate Harry, since he's the security officer. That's how they get past security.
Okay.
So how does she do that? Does she try to do like some sort of Jedi mind trick? Or
I wonder if maybe she uses her telekinetic powers to control his actions, like actually control his fingers on the keypad to say let down shields, disable the tractor beam, that sort of thing. Disable protocols.
This is like in Ocean's 11, the preparation phase before they get the casino. So this is like information gathering.
Okay, yeah, you're right. I'm talking about like in the actual heat of the moment when they're trying to execute and actually get to Neelix's ship, she's doing that. But prior to that, maybe Kes wants to somehow join forces with Harry, saying, look, I know a couple things about this ship that you don't know. I could be valuable to you.
We might be overthinking this one. Where yeah. I like, let's use your idea of mind manipulation.
Okay.
But let's just do it on the security guards that are guarding the shuttle bay.
Maybe she's just doing little tests too to see if she can like some random person. Like, let's say it's Lieutenant Ayala. She just she walks by him and forces him to, I don't know, slap himself. I don't know.
Yeah, something insignificant like that, where she's just walking down the hallway and then waves her fingers real quick. And,
no. This is not Bewitched. And she's not a Q. She's not going to wave her fingers. She's just going to do it.
Fine.
You're going to hear that eerie music of, ooh, and then he's just going to smack his own face and like, what the hell? And she's just going to walk by with a smug look on her face like, yeah, I did it.
Yeah. Yeah, that like that. So that takes care of the bay doors with Tom, the security guards guarding the ship. So now that leaves one thing left, and that's tractor beam and weapons. How on earth? And that, like, so they get those two things done, where they're like, okay, that's solved. How are we gonna take care of this big one?
Okay, who do we have running ops? That's an awful question to ask, but I don't remember, because now we have Harry with security.
Well, I think Tuvok is running ops.
Is he? Okay.
What instantly just popped in my brain is, what if instead of tricking someone for the third one, they plead with someone for the third one? They go to Tuvok and B'Elanna. They say to them, we need to leave. We need to get out of here. You're aliens. We're aliens. You have to understand why we want to get out of here.
I feel like they've got to maybe barter. There's got to be some quid pro quo here. What's in it for them?
Okay.
Now, they're going to appeal especially to B'Elanna as an outcast, as an alien, for their help. But there needs to be a little more there. And what could they possibly give them? That's where I'm blanking.
Well, they can't offer them passage.
No.
Because they're not going to be leaving. What about this? This might be a bit dark.
Okay.
But so Tuvok and B'Elanna, even though they're the quote unquote good guys of this ship because they're put upon, they're still mirror universe versions of the Tuvok and B'Elanna we know. So what if they go to them and say, please, you've got to help us get out of here. And they say, okay, we'll help you get out of here if you kill Harry.
Yowz. Okay. We need to maybe just add a small detail here where maybe Harry is starting to show that he is a threat of power and things have not really been set in motion yet, but they see it on the horizon. Mm-hmm. And they realize it's going to be trouble, and it's not going to be good at all for Tuvok and B'Elanna.
Well, we found out in our previous episode, or one of our previous episodes, that B'Elanna finds out that Harry was behind the suitor business, where he was trying to get rid of B'Elanna. So they maybe Tuvok and B'Elanna find out that Harry was behind all of that, and they can't get to him directly. He's too protected, mm-hmm. But maybe Kes could. And so that's why they need Harry gone. And they're like, okay, this is our perfect opportunity. And I have an ending in my head already.
Oh, okay. Well, I'm absolutely on board with this. So keep going.
But I just don't want to dictate. I want your input. But here's what I'm thinking.
Okay.
Here's what I'm thinking. Kes is, she said, I can't control all this. I'm doing the best I can. And Neelix keeps trying to say, well, you did it with, you practiced on Ayala. You could do that. You've been practicing on little things. You'll be fine. You'll be able to do this. And so Neelix convinces Kes to try and use her mind powers to kill Harry Kim.
Okay, how so? Blowing up his brain or, physically making him do something?
Have him do something to himself where, he snaps his own neck. Or he strangles himself or something like that.
Stabs himself?
Yeah, something to that effect. And so they go to his office and they say, we're delivering your meal because, he's a jerk and requests his meal delivered.
He's getting room service. Yeah.
Yeah, he's getting room service. And then Kes goes in and then Harry's like, why are both of you here? Stop wasting my time. Just drop off my food and go. And then Neelix says, okay, Kes, you know what to do. Something like that. Not that obvious. Yeah. And she tries and tries, but Harry's resisting it because he is actually smart. He is actually powerful. He's not a telepath, but he's very trained. In my mind, she's trying to snap his neck using her telekinesis where he just his head is trying to go in one direction. He forces it back and somehow it forces Kes to go towards Neelix and direct her telekinetic energy towards him by accident.
Oh, yeah. Like it just transfers by accident.
Yeah. And Neelix snaps his own neck and dies.
Ooh, that is dark. So then Kes is on her own.
Kes is on her own and she realizes what happened. And she realized that she has to get out of there. Otherwise, she's going to die. And so she goes forward with the plan.
Okay, Harry also realizes now that he's no longer under Kes's spell or brain control or what have you. What happened is she was trying to kill him. He picks up some sword or a knife or something and starts going after him as she starts to run toward the ship. And then so now we have a chase scene, basically.
Yeah. So he's chasing after her.
So maybe there's still a fierce battle where even though the mind control killed Neelix, and that's obviously heavily on everybody's brain right now, what if she is in protective mode and is still trying to use it in order to protect herself from Harry? He's got the knife in his hand. She's using it to try to get him to stab himself. And it's not quite working. We see him sort of trying to, forcibly remove the knife out of his hand and it just keeps inching closer and closer to his chest. And it actually does work. She's kind of got him where she wants him. He says, you're going to help me get off this ship. You are going to disable the tractor beam and we're going to disable the shields. I'm going to get off of this ship and you're going to shut up. or I will kill you.
Yeah, that's much better than what I had in mind. So,
okay.
Yes. So, yeah, he's chasing her and he's got the knife and she, like, she's running towards the shuttle bay. She, like, you know, throws the security guides away and, like, nothing, like Yoda. And so she goes into the shuttle bay. He goes into the shuttle bay. And then she spins him around and, like, puts the knife next to his throat, does exactly what you said. And say, like, okay, I'm going to make you slit your own throat unless you turn off the tractor beam and disable the weapons. Because I know you know how. He reluctantly agrees. And she gets in, she gets in the ship and she gets away, but she sends a communication to B'Elanna and Tuvok saying, I'm sorry, he's still alive, Neelix is dead, and I think Harry knows. And then she says, but I promise I'll come back for you.
And then we kind of leave off. We don't know where Kes is going to be, what's in store, and all that. And now, meanwhile, what does Harry think about all this? Because suddenly this little servant has a lot of powers that darn if he could only just wield them to be under his control. Boy, would that not be an advantage.
Yeah, he has a new mission to find her and use her against the ship so that he can take the ship over. But now he has to deal with B'Elanna and Tuvok where he knows they know and they know he knows they know.
Right. Yeah, yeah. Also, yeah, there was that whole thing where Kes threatened his life. And
Yeah,
she's got to pay for that somewhere down the line.
And now we can do Fury the way that it should have been done.
Yeah. With a real motive.
Real motive, real revenge, real powers, and real consequences.
I like it. Ooh, that's going to be a lot of fun. But this is part one of that arc.
That's right. That's right. Oh, well, that's our show.
We did it. We made another episode of the Mirror Universe, and that was a lot of fun. And I can't believe we killed off Neelix. But you know what? It's a ruthless world.
It's a ruthless Mirror Universe. That's what that is.
It really is. Well, killing off Neelix is not the only thing that we've been talking about on Trek FM this week. Here's a glimpse at what else is happening on the network.
Previously on Trek.fm, The Ready Room.
You know, Pushing Daisies and Hannibal are two very different shows, but they both have a very strong visual look and a very strong storytelling style and a point of view. And one is quirky, and one is darkly quirky, and one is whimsically quirky.
Standard Orbit.
Just across the board, it gives you space adventure, because they go to the galactic barrier, it gives you the personal dilemma, which is what Star Trek's all about, exploring the human condition, and it gives you just a fun action adventure as well, so just great entertainment.
The 602 Club.
With the idea of putting your faith in a lie, what do you put your faith in, and is it strong enough to hold it? What they're asking Gotham to put their faith in is a lie. And the moment, again, it comes out, it's not going to be good. And that always struck me as something that's going to be really interesting.
Saturday Morning Trek.
And all these things just brought in more and more people who thought they were alone, and they found each other, and they made their clubs, and then they made conventions. And that's what the 70s were about, was getting Star Trek back and finding each other.
And that's what else is happening on Trek.fm.
So check out all those shows and everything else that Trek FM has to offer, because it is quite a bit. We have new Trek Talk coming to you every single day of the week. None of it is possible without Patreon. We are a listener-supported network, and we could use your help. Now, on TTJ, we have several associate producers that we need to thank, so let's do that. Those lovely people are Kenneth Tripp, Jamie Deuce, Bruce Lish, Dante Hopkins, Brian Belisio, Kay Janeway, and Ju Kim. We have a lot of people. That's fantastic. We appreciate the support, and if you want to also support us, please go to patreon.com/trekfm. Consider becoming a monthly subscriber and get in on the fun. And if you leave us 5 stars and a short review, we will give you a shout out on the show as we do. And we would appreciate that because it helps us out a lot.
You know, Char, I don't know if we have ever done this before. We've done a part two of a podcast the very next week. But I think we should do this next week. I think we should do Fury in the Mirror Universe. And jump forward a couple of years. That's what I'm thinking we should
do. Okay, I'm kind of down because, yes, we're kind of just in the moment here. This is on our brains. Why not keep going through with this. It's going to be exciting. It's fun. Yeah, I'm on board. And no, we really don't do this very often, so why not start?
You can tune in next week to find out. So until then, this has been To the Journey.
To the Journey!